And we welcome those who are joining us. And I'll tell you what, we had some good praise this morning. I've already shared in the pregame and got all warmed up. And so we're going to hit the word running, okay? All right, this series is on the powerful principle of meditation. Psalm 27:4, we touched on last week. I'm just going to mention it. David is declaring this, that this is how to receive verse 1. And in verse 1, he declared that the Lord is my light, he's my salvation, he's my refuge, he's my stronghold. And, it's good to know that in your mind, but it needs to be personal in your heart. It's got to be a love-working relationship on the inside, in your heart, not just in your mind. And the way that happens, because he says, when you know that, when that's true, you don't have to fear, you don't have to dread, you don't have to be afraid. You see, we don't have to operate like the world does. We've got our light, our salvation, our refuge, and our stronghold. His name is Jesus. But you have to, this has to be personal to you. You can't walk this out in your life just because a pastor says so. It's got to be made personal to you. And he tells us in Psalm 27:4, how that this can be personal for you. Are you ready? One thing I've asked of the Lord. In other words, this is the main thing. This is a priority. This is of essence. This is my goal in life, that I will seek, inquire for, and insistently require. Does somebody see determined in that? Yes. Diligent in that. I will insistently require that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in His presence. It's not just the church building. Yes, come to the church building. It's time to come to the church building. But what he's talking about is enjoying the presence of the Lord. No one, no situation, no circumstance, no geological situation can hinder you from enjoying the presence of the Lord. We need to practice His presence all the days of my life. That's not just on Lord's Day. Every day is Lord's Day. It's every day. To behold and gaze upon the beauty. Have you beheld the Lord lately? Do you practice beholding Him? You get still enough, long enough, quiet enough to look at Him and to behold the beauty of the Lord. He's beautiful. How precious is the Lord. See, this is life to you. This is love life to you. This is enriching to you. It's amazing how you behold the beauty, the prince of the Lord, the kingliness of the Lord, the almighty unlimited love of God. It's amazing what all is healed in your soul when you behold the Lord. Amen. The sweet attractiveness and the delightful loveliness of the Lord. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to know personally. And you can. You've got a coach, the Holy Spirit, that will walk you in this. He wants you to experience this kind of love life of the Lord. And to meditate. Boy, that ought to be in a meditation on God and His Word series. There it is. David said to meditate, to consider, to seek the Lord in His temple. So our part is to see Him. And the way we put it is, seek Him till you see Him. And He wants to reveal Himself to you. Now don't get tied up, and I know sometimes people do, because we hear testimonies of other people. And just understand that the Lord is your personal shepherd. And He will deal with you in a personal way, not just the same way He does with somebody else. And sometimes we hear some amazing, sensational testimonies of encounters with Jesus, and sometimes we park because we haven't had those. Well, let me just announce, you may not have those. But that's not the supreme. That's not the advantage. And don't get stuck there. Okay, sometimes people do. Don't get stuck there. As a matter of fact, Jesus described, and a matter of fact, he said it to Thomas. And let me just say this. If you haven't seen a physical manifestation of Jesus, you soon will. Amen. In heaven. Amen. You soon will. Soon and very soon, the King is coming soon. And so you get your hope toward the Lord, but you look for the Lord in your heart. You look for him in the word. You look for him out of your spirit. He's a spirit, and we worship God in spirit and in truth. And so don't rely on your emotions. Don't rely on your physical sensations. But you got to go deeper, and you got to see him in your spirit. Well, we're going to talk some more about that, so don't give up on me on that. He told Thomas, he said, okay, Thomas, you had to see and you had to touch with your physical hands and see with your physical eyes. But Jesus said, blessed, better, it's an advantage of others to see me, not in the physical, but in the spiritual. Amen. You see that? Now, I love the series, The Chosen. I've challenged our church to watch The Chosen. And so probably everybody has started it because you follow the encouragement of your pastor. I'm sure everybody has started it. But I want to tell you, one of the things that caught me in watching The Chosen is that, you know, and I've said it, you've probably said it, boy, we wish we could have been there. What a great deal. And I'm telling you, it would have been, but we have an advantage over them.
Amen.
We get to see him in the word. We get to see him in the spirit. Because they had to look past the physical outline of the Lord in a human body. Now, come on now. I don't have time to stay on this. I'm just going to mention. They saw him sweat. They saw him need a shower. They saw him get tired. They saw him get hungry. They saw him sleeping, and they had to look past the physical and say, you know, this is the Son of God. And they were able to do that at times, and at other times they faltered. There was one time that Jesus opened up the physical body, and it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. To just three of them, he opened up his physical body so that they could see his glory. And they got so excited, and it's easy to get excited about the glory and the manifestation of the Lord. And sometimes those emotions go too far. You know, I want to tell you, emotions, you can't trust them. Thank God for good emotions, but even good emotions can go too far. All right, because Peter said, hey, we're going to set up tabernacles for all of y'all. And the Father interrupted that wrong thinking and said, this is my Son. Hear him. Okay? Not the voice of the law, Moses. Not even the voice of the prophets, Elijah. But the voice of grace, the voice of my Son. Hear ye him. So that shows some priority, doesn't it? It doesn't mean that we don't look at Moses or Elijah, but I want to tell you, the priority is to see Jesus in the Word. And that's why this series is about meditate on God and his Word. Anybody see this? And so we seek him till we see him. See how big, how loving, how good. And when you get rhema, see, you get to see Jesus. You seek him till you see him. You see how loved you are when you see Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you something else you see. You see how forgiven you are. Amen. When you see Jesus. And this is the greatest thrust of someone growing in the Lord without hitting stumbling blocks and wrong destinations in the way. One of the best ways to stay in the way, and I'm saying this to pastors too, we need to spend more time preaching and sharing with them how loved they are by Jesus and how forgiven they are instead of preaching on roadblocks and on warning signs. I want to tell you, when they're walking in the greater love and the greater forgiveness of God, they are changed, they are transformed continually without sweat.
Amen.
My, my, my. Faith comes. You don't have a problem with faith and with hope and with love when they're seeing Jesus. When they know how forgiven they are, hey, I want to tell you, the grace of God flows for them to forgive others. When they know and are experiencing how loved they are, it's easy for the flow, that agape love of God to flow. They're in the love lane and they're able to flow to love on others even when they're treated unlovely. Wow, this pleases him. When you boldly reach out and take it. You see, he paid for you to own it. And sometimes when I talk about this, people get a little disturbed, but I'm trying to say to you that it's all everything that you need in this life, and to live righteously has been provided by Jesus on the cross. It's all provided by grace. It's provided by Him. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. But because of the works that He did, we can receive it. We operate down here. But it's all there by grace. And by faith, we reach from this normal world into the spiritual world. And we receive by faith, by grace through faith. Anybody see that? Well, that's exciting living. But you got to be persuaded and convinced that this is His heart for you. That this is true for you. Listen, the Bible says it real clear. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You got to know about it. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing about this, that it's for you. You know, you've been done wrong and singing the done wrong song. You can't live down here and experience the abundant life of Jesus Christ that He has for you. You have to hear the Word of God that there's peace for you. There's forgiveness. There's love life that operates greater than your ability. It's divine. It's what He paid for. There's joy here that He paid for your life. You don't have to live your life in sadness. Okay, like a sad you see. Huh? I'm telling you, He's got it here for you. But you have to hear it and know that it's got your name on it. And as you meditate on it, the Holy Spirit shows you this is for you. Hope comes, shows you in your heart, Jesus paid the price for me on the cross that I can walk in forgiveness and love and joy and peace. And then by faith, you reach out and you take it. And you own it. And sometimes people get a little disturbed when I use terms like this. I'll never forget the day that I was trying to get this over to the church, and I held up a $10 or $20 bill. I don't know. This little lady would be able to tell me. I held it up, and I said this in front of the church, trying to show what Jesus has provided. Hey, this is yours if you'll come and take it. Nobody moved. This is yours if you come and take it. It's been paid for. It's a gift. It's yours. I said it about three times, and then there was a Holy Ghost yell from the second row, and you'd have thought she was a pulling guard. That elbow went like this, and she reached out and stepped. What do you call that step? Drop step. She stepped in the bucket, and boy, she comes swinging around there. You'd have thought she was a pulling guard coming out to leave. And I want to tell you, she ran by and grabbed that money and gave a hallelujah to the Lord. And it was hers. Freely given. Freely received, but she had to come take it and own it with her name on it. And then people was wanting me to repeat that. But I'm telling you, the Lord's done it once and for all, and it's there with your name on it. We've got to come to the place, and this is why meditation on God and the Word is so important, because we've got to take time to sow that seed in our soil. And for that seed to develop roots and to grow up and to mature up. And you know what? It is our sowing season and a harvest season. And we need to stay with it and keep the soil and plant the seed and take care of it and meditate on it until it grows up. Okay? Hey, look, until it grows up. And some people say, well, you're kind of presuming on the Lord. I would never treat the Lord that way, to presume that that's for me. If He wants me to have it, He'll just give it to me. He's already given it. Amen. Man, we spend way too much time in our life begging God and questioning God about why didn't I get my miracle? Why didn't I get my provision? Why didn't I get the relief in my soul? Why didn't I get my healing? And we spend too much time doing that when the Lord is saying from heaven, look at my word, I've already done it. Amen. It's already yours. And by faith, see, this is how we learn by grace through faith to receive what He's done and to apply it, to own it, to make it yours. You say, well, that sounds rude. Well, I want to tell you, when Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were in the ship, I preached on this about a year or so ago, and the disciples were in the ship and the storm was there. And one of the versions says that, and Jesus walked and he was walking by like he was going to pass them up. And they hollered at him, "Lord, is that you?" And then somebody spoke fear. Fear always comes, you know, when revelation comes. Be aware that fear will speak up. And someone said, "No, it's not the Lord, it's a ghost." And they all began to scream. But I want to tell you something. You know what? He walked out there to be a help to them, to comfort them and help them. And you know what? Hey, he went out there to help them. But you know what? He wanted them to own it. He wanted them to ask and to receive. Is anyone listening? Are you getting this? Is this too much? Hey, for someone to say, "Well, you know, I wouldn't do that to the Lord," is presuming to just take it or own it. Well, this is what I got to say. You don't know him very well. Okay? It would be like grandkids are at Camp Hallsville, and I'm always up first because I'm up meeting with the Lord. The little girls wake up and come find me. Come find Papa T. And we're kind of playing and talking, and the next thing you know, they want something to eat. And so I get to fix them a big old breakfast, you know, like yogurt. But I want to tell you something. It would be like my little grandgirls in there on the couch there in Camp Hallsville saying, "Papa T, we hungry, we hungry." I say, "Baby, Papa T got the yogurt right there on the table." "No, Papa T, we hungry, we hungry." "No, it's on the table." You see, it'd be like them refusing to eat breakfast when it's already provided. But they trust Papa T enough, have confidence in Papa T enough to say, when I say breakfast is served, they come running. They don't have to pray about it. Is that a little bit too simple? Okay, I want to tell you something. When we become convinced and persuaded, that is what's called in Scripture the Sabbath rest of Jesus. Okay, now I want to tell you, we may battle to get to that place, and that's okay. Now, I'm telling you, you battle to get to that place of rest where you're believing and trusting and you're convinced. But once you're there, I want to tell you something. Your part is just to give thanks. That's resting in the Lord. That's the biblical Sabbath. The Sabbath is Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus. And so when what you may consider, because I've had people tell me this, "Well, you know what, my little need is just a little too small. I don't want to bother the Lord with that. He got bigger things." No, 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 I'm telling you. And I explain it like this: the ground at the cross is level. And what he paid for the big things in your life, he also paid for the small things in your life. The ground is level. It's already been paid for. The Bible says everything that we need in this life and to live godly in this life has already been provided by Jesus. And that means a little thing. Listen. If it concerns you, he's all over it. Amen. So don't dare go too small. Now, there's a way to miss. There's a way to so focus on your fleshly desires that you can miss. And I want to tell you, that's easy to do for anybody. It's possible when you're not focused on the Lord, but you're focused on yourself, to ask for things off your own that's off the list, off the plan, off the pattern, and miss. But when your heart's centered on him, and when you're walking in the love lane of Jesus, you know it's not just about you, it's for others. Amen? Amen. And so it takes time. And so take the time to be single-minded, to sow the seed. Let the priority be Jesus. You must be determined, focused on Jesus. Meditate. Plant those seeds in your heart. And let's see a picture of what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. And I'm going to show you this in Deuteronomy. Are you interested in this?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it'll be real clear. You ought to see it, though. This is a picture of the body of Christ. It's in Deuteronomy 28:13. And this is not because of you and your goodness. It's because of what Jesus has done that this is true for you. I'll explain that in just a second. "And the Lord shall make you the head, not the tail."
Amen.
That's what Jesus paid for. Let me announce it to you in New Covenant language. He always leads us into triumph.
Amen.
We're an overcomer. Amen. We're a more than conqueror. You say, "Well, I don't see that in my life." Well, this is how you see it. what this message series is all about. We want you to know how to receive it, because we're receivers and not achievers, and all the saints said.
Amen.
And the Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. And then it goes on to explain like this: if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchful to do them. Now let me explain. You've got to look at the Old Testament through New Covenant, New Testament glasses. And without a doubt, the Lord loves and honors your obedience. Let's get that out of the way. Because he said, if you love me, you'll do what I say.
Amen.
You know what? You prove whether or not you love the Lord by whether or not you follow him. Okay, if you don't follow him, you can say all day that you love him, and it falls down to what Jesus said about some of them in that day, that they'll love me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. It's all about the heart. But if you love the Lord, your heart's going to follow what he says. He's your treasure. You're going to do what he says. But in Old Testament law, in this covenant, your obedience qualified you or disqualified you, right? But in New Testament, because of Christ, it's based on his obedience. It was his obedience to the cross that qualifies us to receive. And let me announce something to you. You say, well, I messed up. No, no, no. We receive, it's by grace because of Jesus' obedience. And so your disobedience does not disqualify you, because your obedience didn't qualify you to start with. Man, that ought to excite somebody. So Jesus has qualified you to receive. Now let me show you a picture that the enemy has, the goal the enemy has for the church and for believers. You want to see that? Well, it's describing the curse. And it's Deuteronomy 28:44. And this is what he says. The world shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to them. The world shall be the head over you, and you shall be the tail. Now that's the enemy's plan for Christians. Instead of being the head, as Jesus paid the price for us to be, because we are the bride of Christ. Hey, we're the joint heir with Jesus. The Bible says we're to reign as kings in this life. Can you really reign as a king in this life when you're underneath and not above? When you're the last and not the first? Okay. Instead of us being the head and operating in authority and blessing, many Christians are the tail. Come on now. Come on. I've told you before, I'll share it again because I can't help it. Years ago, when my oldest grandchild, David, was a little bitty fella, we had a little Yorkie named Prince. And he was playing with Prince. And Prince loved the little kids. But after a while, he'd get tired and he'd go hide. They'd be saying, Papa T, where Prince? I said, he's resting somewhere. Okay, he had sense. But I want to tell you something. At this time, little David was hugging Prince and holding him. And he pointed out to me, see, he was going to teach Papa T something. And I didn't know, but the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this very thing. And he was holding Prince, and he said, Papa T, I'm going to tell you something. I said, go, man. He said, he pointed at little Prince's head. He said, this is the good end.
Yeah.
And then he pointed at the other end. By the tail. You know what I'm saying. And he said, Papa T, this is the bad end. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. That is exactly right. Okay. Because that's the enemy's goal. Because when you're the tail, you get wagged. That means you're being controlled. And instead of being in authority, you end up being a slave. I'm going to tell you an example how that I blew it on this. And I take on purpose to share victories and failures on my part. Okay, because, you know, there's some out there in the body of Christ just talk about victory, victory, victory. And other people, you know, we look at them and say, they never blow it. And that's not like my life, so it ain't working for me. But I want to tell you, it's important for us to share how we stumble. Because the grace of God is a great testimony. How the Lord redeems us from missing. How the Lord recovers us. Is anyone listening? Boy, that's real Christianity. When we glory in our weakness, the Lord's strong. And so I'm just going to tell you what happened to me. This was a decade or two ago. And I'd been preaching in a lot of places, and I want to tell you, I never promoted myself. Other people do, that's between them and the Lord, but I had instruction, direct instruction from the Lord, don't promote yourself, and I'll promote you. And so he did, and I did. It was great. But I had the opportunity come up where some folk invited me to Russia to preach for 2 weeks. And at the same time, there was an invitation that came from India to preach for 2 weeks. And then there was an invitation that came from Hungary, Eastern Europe, to preach for 2 weeks. And so as it began to line out, I was going to be gone for 6 weeks. 6 weeks preaching the gospel around the world. Man, it was an exciting opportunity. And man, I was considering an opportunity of a lifetime. But I got to explain to you, it's like when I took teams of people to Central America to do crusades. You know what? We paid to go. They don't take off offerings for you to come. You pay to go. Do you understand how that works? And so I was going to have to put out quite a bit of money for this to happen. Now I want to tell you, I'm confessing to you, at that time in my life, I didn't have faith in provision. I was struggling with God providing. And I want to tell you, it wasn't in me. And I hollered calf rope. And the thing that made me holler calf rope was because I was in debt over my neck. I was so bad in debt. And I didn't have any money, and I didn't have confidence in God to believe him that he was bigger than my debt, that he would provide, and I allowed the thief to steal that opportunity. Are you listening? Debt dictated my response. That's wrong. And the definition of blessing in the New Testament is having more than enough to sow into every need. Boy, we believe that. We're standing on that. And you know what? We've seen God's miracle math over and over again. So, good news. I want to tell you, that's not the only area of my life the Lord was working on. Because I want to tell you, it's taken me decades, and I don't know, I believe that you'll identify with us, but I've circled mountains a number of times in my life. You know, I've been completely debt-free 3 times in my life. I'm not now. Thank God I have a mate, your first lady, that believes in being debt-free also, so we're making great progress. Amen. Hey, I'm believing again, because I've been there about 3 other times in my life where I went, not only was I debt-free, but I was fat-free. I don't have to say much about right now, do I? But I can say to you, you know what? We're making progress. Amen. To be debt-free and fat-free again. Can I say again? Hey, look, you know, I try to be open, and I don't walk in this perfectly. But I want to tell you something. The Bible, heaven celebrates progress. So don't worry about tomorrow. That's where a lot of us get fouled up. We look at tomorrow, we look at the rest of the year, we look at the next decade, and we get overwhelmed, and you're not seeing Jesus in that picture. Heaven celebrates progress. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. It's enough challenge to believe for and conquer today. And so what Jesus is saying, win the day with Jesus. Win the day today. Win the day. We're in the last days. Jesus' grace and faith is more available than whatever we need. So don't waste one. Let's win today. And if you win tomorrow with Jesus, depending on Jesus, in the next few days, guess what? You've had a victorious week. Somebody say amen. Matthew 6:34, he said, do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Now, the great news is that today and tomorrow is great victory in the Lord already waiting on us. And so what are we going to do? We can't live in the natural and operate in the supernatural. We got to use by faith, we got to reach up and receive by faith in the invisible what Jesus has won for us to walk in victory today. Amen. Follow Jesus today and you'll make progress. He provides fresh mercy each morning. Now, I'm going to say something, be advised about this. If you're at the same place spiritually as you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I'm coming, 30 years ago, something's wrong. Houston, we have a problem. Okay? What's the problem? Hey, we got to go toward the Lord, and we got to saturate ourselves in His Word and practice meditating on our word, on His Word. Hey, look, you may say, well, it's not been my experience. Well, your experience is wrong, and the Word of God is right every time. Progress and success are guaranteed when we meditate on God and His Word. Now, I'm going to say it again because I think it needs to be said. We're not going to walk in victory. We're not going to walk in our promised land, the abundant life of Jesus Christ, the conquering of your mountain, whatever the name that is, by operating just down here in the natural world. It's not going to happen. We got to be able to see the supernatural, and that only comes from meditating on God and His Word. When we do that, when we practice focusing on God, and we see Him in His Word, we see Him in His works, the Holy Spirit reveals who He is and that this is for us with our name on it. It's in the invisible. We got to look into the invisible. We're not going to experience the promised land down here. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest rope of those three, the biggest one, the one right down the middle, is love. We need hope and we need faith. Now listen, this is out of Webster's Dictionary of 1828. And I decided this past week I'm ordering one. I keep trying to refer to it. I'm getting another one because I've had one before. And whatever preacher boy's got it, just be blessed. Because it didn't come back, but just be blessed. I'm getting another one. Because the early 1828 dictionary has a lot of scripture in it. Uses Bible. You know, the early readers trained our education, had scripture in it. Come on, somebody. This is what the 1828 Dictionary of Webster defines meditation as: a close and continued thought, the turning or revolving of a subject in the mind, serious contemplation. Another definition describes meditation as to resolve in the mind, to imagine. See, not too far to talk about the imagination room God's given you when it points to it in Scripture. Okay, so imagine or premeditate. In simple Bible terms, Bible meditation is you keep in mind. Now, God invented this for our good. The enemy in the world's a copycat, and it's a weak form, and it's a dark form. You meditate on God and His Word. It's simply turning the Word of God over and over in your heart until the light comes on. That's what revelation is. Isn't that fun when the light comes on? That's what He wants to do for you, and He will do. I got a fresh picture of this a couple of months ago when I was at Costco. Isn't it amazing the Lord can speak to you at Costco? But it's because I was already up that morning meditating on His Word. But while I'm at Costco and meditating on meditation of God and His Word, I'm standing in front of the rotisserie of the chicken. And I'm kind of caught. And I'm kind of dazed. And I tell you, it smells so good. And it looks so good. Them chicks turning on that rotisserie. I was just so caught in amazement. I was caught there. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. That is meditation. When you take the treasure of the Word of God and you focus on God, and you just turn it over and over and over until it's done, until it tastes good, until it's edible. And I kid you not, while I was there getting all excited on the inside, and I'm watching this, a little woman eased up beside me, and she said, "It looks good, don't it?" She said, "You know, it tastes good, don't it?" And the Holy Spirit said, "Yes, it does." Meditation will take His Word and make His Word taste good, and where you can appropriate it and take it into your system and be transformed. Is that exciting? Okay. Until the light comes on. Meditating on God and His Word brings hope and ignites faith. truly, this gives you eyes to see the Lord and what He's doing, and ears to hear what He's saying, and His faith in you to participate in what He's doing. It comes. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance. I want to tell you, we got to come to the place where we are assured. This is missing in a lot of Christian lives. You know, what are we assured of? Do we have the confirmation? Amplified brings out, do we have the title deed? You know what? When you have the title deed, you may have the deed before you have the property. You may have the title deed before you have the vehicle. But if it's there, it's the title deed, it's given to you, and it's your name on it, even if you don't see it yet, even if you're not standing on it yet, it's yours! And this is what faith is. It's having that assurance, that confirmation. I want to tell you, see, this is where you're in the Word and you hear the Holy Spirit say to you, you got it. It's yours. You got it. It's yours with your name on it. It's your birthright. Hey, it's got your name on it. It's been paid for. It's yours. See, of the things we hope for. Now, see, hope comes first. Hope comes before faith. Hope is where the Holy Spirit draws that painting on that big screen in your imagination room of what He wants for you, what He wants to do for you, what He's about to do in your life. He paints it there, and you have the hope for it, and then faith comes. Boy, that's exciting. And look at it. It's being the proof of things we do not see. You don't see it yet. This is all before you can see it. It's in the invisible. But I'm here to say to you, even though it's in the invisible, and you can't see it with your physical eyes, you can't touch it, you can't taste it yet, I want to tell you, it's more real than what you can taste, touch, and feel. Just because it's invisible doesn't mean it's real. It's more real. Do you see this? Being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, where you know that you know that you know and you're knower, this is real. It's a greater reality to what's not revealed in the senses. Meditation on God and His Word. Build your inner strength to believe. Anybody need inner strength to believe? Hey, I'm sharing this with you because this is something that all of us can do. All of us can do this. And the Holy Spirit is our helper in it. He gives the desire to hold on to what you believe. And so just like New Testament tells us, He wants our soul to prosper. He wants the inside of you to be lined up with Him, and He wants your soul to prosper. And if your soul's prospering, then according to the Bible, your life can prosper. And even your health can prosper. But it starts with the soul. Genesis 24:63. I've got just a few minutes, so let's listen fast. Isaiah 24:63. I want to show you a pattern. Isaac went out to meditate and bow down in prayer in the open country in the evening. And he looked up. Somebody circle that. Somebody circle it. He looked up. Now I'm sharing with you that I really believe that this is a code word for meditation on God. He looked up and he saw. He looked up first toward heaven, and then he saw. Behold, camels were coming. He lifted up his eyes and saw. His blessing and answer were in his imagination room before he ever saw them in a visible way. I personally believe this was a custom more caught than taught from his father Abraham, because his father Abraham didn't practice the same thing, where he would meditate on the stars and on the sands. And he learned to meditate on God in his words. And so I believe that he caught this from his dad. I know a lot of times some of the things that we use and need to grow in the Lord are more caught than taught. This is why it's important for us to have fellowship and be around each other, because the Holy Spirit will help you catch things from somebody else. The expression, lift up his eyes, is a beautiful expression of our imagination room that God's given us. Jesus used this expression describing the unseen harvest. Look at this, John 4:35. Do you not say it is still 4 months until harvest time comes? Look what he says. He said, look, I tell you, raise your eyes. Somebody say, meditate on God. Look on that imagination room on the inside and observe the fields and see how they are already white for harvesting. Now, this is a beautiful description. They understood what he was saying, but he wasn't talking about wheat. He was talking about hearts. Same expression was also used by Abraham. Genesis 22:13. And Abraham looked up. You see it? Looked up. Somebody say he meditated on God. And he glanced around. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering and an ascending sacrifice instead of his son. That was a good day. Abraham saw by faith, he saw the sacrifice before he saw the ram caught in a thicket. Is this too much for you? The same phrase used to describe what was shown to Jacob in a dream to empower him to eventually possess everything his deceiving father-in-law Laban had. Now, I want to tell you, he was done wrong by the father-in-law. Laban was ripping him off. And you know what? And let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't contest or protest. He didn't develop the court system. You know what he did? He gave it to God, and he walked in the love lane. Somebody say amen. He walked in forgiveness, and he left it up to God. Somebody say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. If you believe that, then you don't take revenge. Genesis 31:9-10. Thus God has taken away the flocks of your father and given them to me. I had a dream. Wait, here it is. I had a dream at the time the flock conceived. I looked up. There it is. He meditated on God, and he saw a vision, had a dream, and saw that the rams which mated with the she-goats were streaked, speckled, and spotted. And that powerful phrase, that same phrase was practiced by Jesus as he gave thanks for the more than enough fish tacos for thousands. You want to see this? And taking the five loaves, this is Mark 6:41, and taking the five loaves and two fish, here it is, he looked up. He saw the provision for the thousands of people in the invisible before they became visible. Hey, look, you say, well, he was God, but I'm telling you, he was showing us how to operate. He looked up to heaven, and he saw the provision, and he began to praise God before the provision showed up. He began to give thanks, and he broke the loaves. And he kept on giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And he also divided the two fish among them all. Now, I want to tell you, this is a beautiful description. And it goes like this. Here are thousands. Here's a little kid's lunch. He looked up into heaven, and he saw the truckloads of fish tacos. And he smiled, and he began to give thanks. And I want to tell you, he took what was visible, and he broke it up, and he had it there, I believe, in his robe, how that they would hold it like a basket. And he told the disciples to get out of this robe here, take these fish tacos, and go feed the thousands. And you know, it took by faith for them to operate too, to reach in there, to look at the thousands of people, look in there and take fish tacos and put in their apron to fill it up. And I want to tell you, this is what I really believe what happened, that they would go and give out them fish tacos, and it would be empty, and they would come back to Jesus. That's the way it's worded. They would come back to Jesus. And whenever we have a need, we need to come back to Jesus because he's the source of supply. And by faith, they would reach in there. I want to tell you, by faith, Jesus received those fish tacos out of heaven. And by faith, the disciples reached in there, took the fish tacos, and gave it to the people. And there was baskets left over. That's God's miracle math. That's what he loves to do. This gives them honor and glory. Wow, I'm kind of out of time. I got just a couple minutes. Let's just listen real fast. You see, meditating on God and his word is the fuel and food for your imagination room. God designed this to allow the Holy Spirit to paint those pictures because he wants to do success in us. He wants to prosper through it. I'm looking at a people that God wants to promote. And God set it in motion. He's got principles here that he has set in motion, that if you'll do this, you'll be a receiver. This is how to receive. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's by grace been provided, but this is how we reach up on the top in the invisible and receive it for right here where we live. This is what God has for you. Is there anybody here that's willing to be a receiver? He set it in motion. Now understand, there's a seed season and then there's a harvest season. It's not always back to back, is it? Hey, are you willing to persevere? Sometimes I get people in ministry I talk to on the phone or whatever, and they're just weary. I had one pastor tell me one time, that church ain't never going to do anything. They're never going to do anything. I don't even know why I'm going. Hey, I want to tell you something. Our part is to see Jesus in the Word and see in the invisible and see that the harvest is ready. Not that the harvest is dead. Not that the harvest is not coming. Our part is to agree with Jesus that the harvest is ready to come. I want to tell you, it takes some perseverance. I had to lovingly tell him, don't quit. You don't quit just because there's a resistance. You don't quit just because things don't go your way or people don't respond like you wanted them to. Amen. It's patience and perseverance. Now, I want to tell you, it seemed real slow right here between seed season and harvest season. But I want to tell you, heaven celebrates perseverance. Heaven celebrates patience. And you need a lot of patience with people, amen? Yeah. And you need a lot of perseverance with situations, amen? Yeah. But to quit and run means that you miss the harvest. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait. Am I saying something here? Don't miss the harvest of what God's doing. It's a powerful principle. You sow into your own future. You're creating future harvest. Don't miss out on your future harvest. This powerful principle of meditation, I got to finish with this. Powerful principle of meditation is what enabled Joshua and the nation of Israel. See, sometimes this is preached wrong that this was just for Joshua. No, it wasn't. What was given for Joshua was given for all of them. To take possession of their inheritance, the promised land, because the first bunch that came through didn't go in. Doubt, speculation, unbelief, fear. And so he taught them to practice meditating on the Word, on God in the Word. And they would take possession of their inheritance because they would operate by faith and not by fear. Is anyone listening? And it's true for us to walk in our abundant life, our overcoming, to be more than conquerors and to be overcomers. God's looking at you this morning and he sees overcomers. How do you see yourself? He paid for us to take possession of the mountains that we have in this journey. Are you possessing your mountain? Hey, it's our inheritance. We're joint heirs. And before you start hearing the whispers get louder, I want to remind you that in the promised land that we're looking at, that was a picture for us in the Old Testament. The promised land was full of giants. Their promised land was full of giants. So why do you think that we're not going to face some? He commanded them in Joshua 1:8 to meditate on his word while they worked during the day and during the quiet hours of night. You say, I don't have time for that. Well, you don't have time for victory. Do you want that to be your testimony? Look at Joshua 1:8, and I'm going to wrap this up. Joshua 1:8, NLT. Study this book of instruction continually. No, that's not really necessary. Just on Sunday when Papa T or Pastor Tim hands us out the notes. No, we're to meditate on it day and night. Now, to meditate means that you humble yourself and you seek God. Because wisdom comes from God. It's not something you earn. It's not something you figure out. You humble yourself and seek the Lord. You submit yourself before direction. A lot of people want to get direction, but they don't practice submitting. It's submitting to the Lord. A lot of people want to practice resisting, but they don't submit. They just announce part of the scripture, resist the devil and he'll flee. No, I doubt it. No, you're going to have a war of a time on your hands. And if you're doing all this hand-to-hand conflict and not going anywhere after a period of time, maybe we need to back up the truck and practice submitting first. Because when we humble ourselves before God, grace comes. Grace kicks in. Do you see this? We're to humble ourselves before God and man. Humble yourself and seek the Lord. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey. Now, boy, that tells us something. When you meditate on God in the Word, grace. When you humble yourself to seek the Lord, grace comes. Grace kicks in. Now, let me tell you what you're going to recognize about yourself that you didn't know beforehand. When you humble yourself and seek the Lord through meditating on Him and His Word, you experience grace. You experience His presence, His power, and His desire, and it's enabling you. You don't enable it. You don't work it up. He enables you to be what He wants you to be and to do what He wants you to do, and it's out of the supernatural flow of God. It's out of that power of that love source of Galatians 5:22. There's a number of the fruit of the Spirit that's expressed, but they all go back to love. Amen, Brother Tim. I think I'm preaching a little better than y'all witnessing. Grace comes when you humble yourself and seek the Lord. You experience His presence and His power. This is the harvest of kingdom fruit in your life that He wants, that He designed for you. And so God's not finished with you. There's a whole lot more for you. And I'm looking at some people that God's wanting to raise up to conquer those mountains, to walk in the promised land that God has for you. You don't have to settle, on survival until heaven comes. It's for now. And it's available for anybody that will practice seeking the Lord and practice meditating on God and His Word. Are you willing to do that? I'm telling you, God will do His part, and He will cause you to prosper and succeed. That's what He wants. That's what He desires. It's His will. It's His desire. It's God's purpose for you. You know why? So you can just be blessed. Am I for no more? No. It's to bless you for the kingdom's sake. It's all here. And by the word, we reach up here and receive. See, He caused us. He called us to reign as kings in this life. Can you reign as a king if you're sick? Not very well. Really? Can you reign as a king if you're in poverty? Not very well. Can you reign as a king if you're walking in foolishness? Huh? If you're tied up in this world? No, I want to tell you something. God's designed you. You're not just a regular human. You don't have to live down here. He's designed you to connect with Him through meditating on Him and His Word. And you know what He releases? He releases wisdom, and He releases faith. Hope comes, faith comes, for you to reach up here and to own and to take what He's provided for you to walk in your victory and overcomer and to walk in your promised land on this earth. You fulfill your purpose, and you multiply the kingdom of God as a result. Is that great news? Let's give the Lord praise. Thank you so much for your patience and your perseverance in this sermon. I love you so much. We'll have a great time next week. Let's enjoy the Lord today. Amen? All right. God bless you.